Welcome to Dollars and Cents, Wealth, Wisdom, and Well-Being, where we dive into fascinating topics with amazing people, thought leaders, and trailblazers from all walks of life. I'm John Carolyn, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager for Main Street Wealth Management Group.
And I'm Mark Lopez, Senior Vice President, Olympic Silver Medalist, and Certified Financial Planner for the team. We're thrilled to have you with us today.
Today, we're honored to welcome back Trey Hendershot, Managing Shareholder for Hendershot Cowart PC, and a true leader in helping business owners navigate legal challenges while planning for growth. Trey, welcome back.
It's great to be back with you guys.
Trey, we like to start each episode with some fun facts or trivia. And here's one for you and our listeners. According to the Exit Planning Institute, what percentage of business owners who sell their businesses are unhappy with the outcome a year later?
Well, Mark, I'm going to kind of tap dance around on that answer because I think it depends on whether or not they did the right planning going into it, whether or not they had the right team advising them, and whether or not they actually knew what their end-game goal was. From what I see come across my desk, the people that come in that are unhappy after the fact are those that didn't have a plan and didn't know what their ultimate goal was going to be. And so for those that are unhappy, there's a high percentage of those. Now, those that started the planning process early, knew what their end-game goals were, knew what their value was going into it, I see those guys in there happy as can be for the majority of the time.
Thank you, Trey, for that answer. And I imagine every business owner that has worked with Hendershot Cowart PC have been happy a year after they have sold their business. But let me restate the question. According to the Exit Planning Institute, what percentage of business owners who sell their business are unhappy with the outcome a year later? Well, the answer is over 70%. Over 70% of business owners are unhappy a year after they sell their business. And why is that? Well, some of the obvious reasons are because they didn't work with a business attorney like yourself, Trey, or they haven't worked with a wealth management team like Main Street Wealth Management to create a proper financial plan for them. But a surprising reason is because many business owners are not emotionally prepared for the life changes after selling. Most do not have a clear plan for their life post-sale.
I can imagine that if you don't have the proper planning, that that's got to be something that you're kind of walking blind into an area where it's like going somewhere without a map.
Well, that's exactly correct, John. And, you know, it takes a team to help somebody prepare for this. You need your financial advisors, your wealth management advisors, mm-hmm. you need your CPA, and you need an attorney involved in it. And when we start looking at it, you need an attorney, you need wealth advisors, you need CPAs that are well-versed in the industry of selling businesses. Because it's just like if you need brain surgery, you're not going to go to a family practice doctor.
That's a good
point.
So
you need to get somebody that's specialized in that area that understands the pitfalls and understands what's out there and what needs to be accomplished.
Well, Trey, our listeners have spoken, and you are the most requested guest to return to our podcast.
That's, well, I appreciate that.
I mean, you did such a good job. Well, clearly, there's a real need for direction and education for business owners. From your experience, what are the most common pitfalls that a business owner encounters when they start planning their exit strategy?
Well, one of the pitfalls that we see on a regular basis is they don't start planning the exit strategy soon enough. Because like I was saying a minute ago, you need the team out there that's going to help you determine what your ultimate goals are. Knowing those goals, you at least have a target of, okay, this is where I want to end up. And so there are a number of steps along the way that we have to deal with. You know, what is your value? Getting a valuation of your business done so that you know what the fair market value of it is. Because the buyer is always going to try to get it as low as they can, so we don't want to rely on their numbers. Another pitfall that we see many times is people will come to me and they go, well, here's the signed letter of intent. Help us out. It's a non-binding letter of intent. Well, yes and no, it's non-binding. Normally, letters of intent say everything is non-binding except for. And one of the things you'll see in there many times is exclusivity. So you're locked in for a period of time that you can't talk to anybody else. Another thing on these non-binding letters of intent, there'll be deal terms in there. And yeah, they're non-binding and you can say, well, the deal's off, I'm not going to do it. But if you try to negotiate some of those deal points, for example, escrow agreements, holdbacks, earnouts, later on down the line, they're going to say, well, that's not in the letter of intent, or that's not what the letter of intent says. So a big pitfall is not talking to somebody before you sign that letter of intent.
Wow. That's a great point.
Yeah. And everything you're saying, Trey, is really music to our ears, because our current business owner clients, we're trying to let them know how important it is to have a team of people around them. Whether or not they're selling their business today or in 5 years, they should have a plan in place. And as you've said many times already and emphasized, they need a team around them. So our team, Main Street Wealth Management, have dedicated ourselves to be the go-to wealth managers to help these business owners transition whenever they want to sell their company, and to be part of a group of people like yourself and CPAs to help these people. We want to make the maximum impact on all of our clients, and we see there's a huge need in the business owner field. So yeah, we just want to announce that on this podcast today with you, Trey, that we want to be the go-to people to help business owners in the wealth management field. So yeah, we're excited about that.
And that kind of leads me to a question. Meeting and knowing a lot of business owners, you know, they might work with a CPA, they might work with an attorney or a wealth manager, but they don't see them as like a collective part of their team, right? It's like each one is siloed, but to be really truly effective for a client, you need to work as a team.
It has to be a team.
Right.
You have to work together. There has to be clear communication, and there has to be a clear understanding of what everybody's role is. And that all boils back down to what are the ultimate goals for the business owner? Where do they want to be at the end of the day? Because there's so many roads that this can go down when you start looking at succession planning for a business. Mm-hmm. Is it, I'm going to sell to private equity? Is it, I want my kids to take over the business? Is it, I want to grow this business
right. And
take it public? You know, it can go in any number of directions. Or what if we have three partners? How are we going to plan amongst the three partners, the three members, if somebody decides, you know, I've played this game as long as I want to play it and I'm ready to slow down, or if somebody says I'm going to retire, or if somebody gets hit by a bus, how are we going to deal with that? And so all of that comes into the succession planning. Again, it's never too early to start
right. That.
And as I said on the last podcast, a great time to start that is when you're actually forming the entity. And I can sit here and tell you success story after success story where clients did just sit down and do that. And one of the things that we've developed in our office is we have a checklist that when somebody comes in and says, I want to open a business, well, we've got a checklist that we give them to them and say, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? How do you want to handle X, Y, or Z? Because I've played this game for 37 years, and so I've seen a lot of stuff that works. And I've seen a lot of stuff that doesn't work. So let's address it on the front end to help the client throughout the life of their business.
And it's never too late.
It's never too late.
But as a business owner, it's something you have to consider because time stops for nobody.
Time stops for nobody. And it is something that you have to consider. And kind of going back to your comment about it's never too late. Well, it's never too late, but there may be missed opportunities. And once those opportunities are missed, you may never get them back.
That's a good point. Well, you know, we believe there's three keys that business owners should focus on before selling their business. The first one is business planning. That's where you ask yourself questions like, is the business ready to sell? Like you had pointed out, how valuable is it today? Would it fetch a high multiple if it was taken to the market today? And after that, you have your financial planning, your personal family financial planning. And that's where we really get involved with a lot of that. And it's like a roadmap. Where am I now? Where do I go? What are the gaps in getting there? And what can we do to help bridge those gaps? And then, of course, you have your personal planning. What will I do after selling my business? Personal goals should drive the business, not the other way around. And many business owners feel purposeless, and I've seen it, and unfulfilled after exiting. You got to have a detailed plan, like you said.
That's true. So, Trey, John just laid out those three keys that we feel business owners should focus on. And just to recap real quick, business planning, financial planning on the personal side, and then personal planning on what you do after you sell the business. What role does comprehensive legal planning play in addressing those three keys that we just laid out?
Well, Mark, that's a great question. It ties in very heavily to what you've just identified, the planning for business, financial, personal. as the attorney, when somebody comes to me and says, you know, thinking about succession planning for my business, I'm thinking about an exit strategy. Well, my first question back to them is, well, what are your goals? What do you want to accomplish? And so that's where you guys are so important, is if you've had the opportunity to help them map out what their financial goals are, then once I know what those goals are, I can take the appropriate steps as the attorney to protect those goals when we start getting into the succession planning of the business. For example, if the plan for the business is to build the business up to a certain value and then sell it and cash out. Okay, well then I know what number I've got to hit because we always want to make sure we understand our value before we're going into this. And then I know how to negotiate the deal. And it's important to have somebody that's been down this road a few times before negotiating that deal for you. For example, one of the big pitfalls that people get stuck with that they don't realize is many times, especially when you're dealing with private equity acquiring a business, they're going to want there to be certain holdbacks and earnouts on the purchase price. For example, we'll pay you $50 million for your business, but we're only paying you $30 million cash at closing, and the other $20 million is going to be on an earnout. What is the definition on how that earnout is calculated? And how much control do you, as the person selling the business, have in the ability to hit those earnout numbers? So you may have been the president of your company beforehand, but then somebody else is buying your business and they're taking over. They're bringing their own personnel in. So things may change and you may not have the same EBITDA. You may not have the same profit margins. And so those are things that all of a sudden become out of your control when it's things that you're looking for to make sure you get the value out of your business. And so we have to make sure when the definitive closing documents are prepared that those type of issues, those type of risk factors are dealt with on the front end so that we know that you're going to be able to get the total dollar value that you thought you were going to get on the back end.
That's fascinating. Again, there's just so many moving parts. Could you give us a case example of someone that you would work with, of course, keeping it confidential?
Sure.
Where things just worked out great, because then what I'm going to ask you is the opposite, right?
Sure.
Because I want to hear that it's a success story and a horror story.
Well, unfortunately, I can give you a lot of the horror stories, but thankfully, I can also give you a number of success stories. Probably my favorite success story, and again, I'm going to keep it confidential. Client developed software, and he came to me when he originally incorporated his business. And he told me the first time I met him, Trey, I've got another job now. I'm leaving my other job. I want to start this company, and I want to build it up, and I want to sell it. And so he and I worked together for about 10 years, and I was involved in everything with his company. We made sure the contracts were in place right. We made sure that the HR policies were right. So we did everything so that the company was actually attractive. And he told me on a very regular basis, this is my target. This is where I want to be. So about 3 years ago, we cashed him out. He got rolled up by a much larger company, and about 3 weeks after we finally closed on it and he had the money in the bank, he called me and goes, you know what I want now? I'm like, I have no clue. He goes, I want a vineyard in Napa Valley. So we bought him a vineyard in Napa Valley. And a couple of years ago, my wife and I were fortunate enough to go out there and taste his first vintage of his wine right out of the barrel.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So yeah, that was a true success story. But again, as I've said a couple of times, it's all about having the plan and knowing what your target is. And it's okay if that plan or that target changes, but we just got to have something that we're working for to know where we're going.
Right. No, that makes total sense. So here's an interesting statistic that I had read.
John, I want to hear the horror stories.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself.
That's what I've been waiting for.
My bad.
Because I'm the financial planner in me is always thinking, all right, this is the best that can happen. I want to know what's the worst that can happen.
Well, we were mentioning a minute ago earnouts. And that is probably one of the biggest areas that I see the horror story is somebody didn't have the documentation right. And then they think the example I was given a minute ago, they think they're going to get the $50 million. And all of a sudden, they end up with the cash at closing. And a couple of years later, there's no money, not enough EBITDA, because somebody else came in and was running the operation. A recent deal that had gone bad for somebody, and it went bad for them, and I'm going to say luckily before my firm handled it, and they came to me after it to try to
fix it
and clean up the mess. But they, in their closing documents, in the definitive closing documents in the purchase agreement, they had to hit a certain EBITDA before they could get the earnout. And then there was buried in the fine print language that said, even if you hit that EBITDA, that multiple of EBITDA, then we don't have to pay the earnout unless there is sufficient free cash from operations. And you go, well, what does that mean? Well, they had a definition in there that free cash from operations meant the money that was left over after the new owners did whatever they wanted to with the money. And in this particular case, they had gone out and bought a building and said, well, sorry, we just bought this building for us and we used all your free cash from operations, so you don't get any of your earnout.
Oh, man.
That sounds like some weird government corruption stuff.
I'm surprised, but then I'm not, because if you really think what a business owner does, I mean, they spend every waking hour awake, dreaming, sleeping about their business.
About managing and running their business. That's right. And then, so again, you know, I don't want to spend the whole time talking about earnouts, but it is such a tricky area. And if you're not in control after the closing, the buyer has the ability to run up costs to their benefit, to your detriment, to detrimentally impact your earnout amount.
Wow.
Yeah. And just to your point, Trey, and I don't mind you repeating these themes over and over again, because I don't think business owners or clients in general, they don't really understand the huge impact that a business attorney like yourself can make to these owners. So for those owners out there who think they can do it alone, I strongly would not advise that. I would definitely recommend reach out to Trey and his firm or another attorney in your area. But for
just get
sure,
some advice.
And any business owner out there thinking about selling your business or creating your business, get with a reputable corporate attorney, business attorney like Trey and his firm.
And again, I was talking earlier about the Forbes statistic, and this kind of blew me away. It showed that 23% of business owners, they take fewer than 2 vacation days per year. And 75% of those, they worked on their business on their vacation. So it wasn't even a vacation. So they're constantly working on their business, even when they're on vacation. So Trey, the question to you is, as a fellow business owner, do you find that to be the case?
That's probably a question that would be better directed toward my wife, because Sherry will tell you in the 32 years that we've been married, I have never gone on a vacation and not worked while I was on vacation.
There you go.
There it is. Blows me away. Business owners are, how's the old saying go? You need to be working on your business, not in your business. And it's hard to do.
Oh, it is very hard to do.
Especially if you're the owner, it's your baby.
Yeah, that's a great way of describing it, John.
Trey, this is part of our podcast that we call Our Favorites or Your Favorites. Could you share something with our listeners that you currently find interesting? It could be anything, a book, movie, blog, or piece of wisdom.
Well, you know, Mark, we were just talking about vacations. And so that is something that I find, my family finds very interesting, is trying to plan our family vacations. You know, our kids are grown and scattered all over the United States now, so the ability to get together with them and do some fun stuff, that's for Sherry and I, that's kind of the highlight of what we do. And actually, we've got, coming up this summer, we've got a very interesting trip. We're going to Paris for the Summer Olympics.
Oh, cool.
So given your past experience, after we get finished with this, I'm going to pick your brain
awesome.
About some of the do's and don'ts for the Olympics.
Will do. I'm happy to share.
Oh, man. Mark, we have some pretty interesting stories, I'm sure. Well, Trey, it's been an absolute pleasure. There's so many different things to touch on. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of questions from people. Again, just wanted to thank you again for joining us. You are really helping out where there is a real need in the business community.
Well, John, I appreciate the opportunity of being here, Mark. I appreciate the opportunity to sit down and chat with you guys and your listeners, and anything we can do to help, we're happy to do it.
Trey, is there, for our listeners, where can they find you and your firm?
You can go on the internet and find us, Hendershot Cowart, HendershotCowart, PC. Just Google that, or our telephone number, 713-783-3110.
And everybody could find your firm on LinkedIn as well, correct?
We're on LinkedIn and, yeah, pretty well all over social media.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Trey, and wanted to thank our listeners for tuning in. Until next time, this is Dollars and Cents. Wealth, wisdom, and well-being.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.